is through the blood. Always through the blood. I was told a story years ago, and this was probably in the 60s or 70s, which is surprising. A preacher came to another preacher that was very well known, and he said to him, "You've got, you know, a great voice. You have a great understanding of, you know, the word and how to deliver it. And, you know, your messages are powerful. And, you know, you've become very popular and people want to listen to you." And this one preacher told the other one, said, "But if you really want to go far, do away with all that blood stuff." So I told him, "Do away with all that blood stuff." And, you know, it's just like the devil. He came to our Lord and he said, you know, more or less, "If you want to get out of this temptation, worship me. I'll give you all these kingdoms of the earth," you know. Never has anyone ever gained heaven or that which is good by turning away from the Lord. Never. Satan will try to tell people that they, you know, if they're going to have, they've got to, you know, don't do it. You can't do it exactly the way God wants you to, or it's not going to work. It'll work the way God wants it to, where God wants it to, how God wants it to. And it'll always have to be in His way, in His time. If you have your Bible, turn with me to the book of Deuteronomy. The book of Deuteronomy, chapter number 5. Deuteronomy, chapter number 5. And if you also want to find a place in Exodus chapter 20, Exodus chapter 20, Deuteronomy chapter 5 and Exodus chapter 20 speak of the exact same thing. It is the time when God gave to Moses, or spake to Moses, the Ten Commandments. And He tells him the sum of the whole law. And, of course, there's no way that we can, you know, preach all of that in one message. But I do want to start this evening in Deuteronomy and Deuteronomy 5, he says in verse 1, "And Moses called all Israel and said unto them, Hear, O Israel, That's always the first thing that people have to do if they're going to capture in their soul, open their heart and their minds to the Word of God, is to hear. It's the first thing Jesus said, he that hath an ear to hear, let him hear. So you have to hear it. And when he's saying, hear, O Israel, it's more than just, you know, listen to what I'm saying. He wants them to really pay attention and to accept what is being said. Hear, he said, O Israel, the statutes and judgments which I speak in your ears this day, that ye may learn them and keep and do them. Three things is why it was necessary for them to hear. Not just to hear it and forget about it. Not just to let it go in one ear and out the other. But to hear God's word, that you may learn it, keep it, and do it. I read something the other day, and I wish I'd written it down. If I can find it again, I'll write it down if God will let me come back with another message, and surely he would. But it talked about people's perception of what the Word of God is. The Word of God, the Bible said every word of God. So these are the words of God, inspired, inerrant, infallible. They are, when I say inspired, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Amen. And is profitable. They're not just a series of books written by normal men. They were written, holy men of God, the Bible said. Holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. So the Holy Ghost authored and inspired this book. There's a lot of people that look at this book in a different way. Some people look at it kind of like an encyclopedia. Some people look at it as just, a book of stories. It's something you read and you don't really apply it. Then there are those that think that this is a book where we can find some good moral guidance. That's it. Then there are those that believe this is the divinely inspired Word of God that we are saved by, that we live by, that we walk by. And it is in us. It becomes a part of us. And I'm one of them. This book is more than just poetry or stories or a little bit of this and a little bit of that. It is history. It is prophecy. That which is yet to come, which shall be. And you're not going to find that anywhere else. Amen? God has already told us how things are going to turn out in the end. He told Daniel in his days, all the way to the end of days, every Gentile reign that would happen, the very
Babylonian Empire that they were living in was represented as a head of gold in a metallic man. Was told of two other empires, two arms of silver that would overtake that head of gold. And that happened. And right on down the body of that metallic man, every Gentile reigning world power has come to pass. And now we're down in the feet, the final days, the last days that Daniel spoke of. And the Bible gives us this prophecy that, you know, when the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled, that's when the days of Gentile kingdoms are come to an end, then Christ is going to come and set up His kingdom. And you can believe that. There's a lot to be said about God's Word. But now, I want us to slow down just a little bit and look at these commandments. And I thought to myself about this first commandment that we find. You find it in Exodus 20, verse 3. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. In Deuteronomy, he says, thou shalt have none other gods before me. This is the beginning commandment. The beginning commandment. That we shall not have any other gods before Him. No other gods before Him. Now I'll tell you what that does not mean. It does not mean you can have other gods as long as you don't put them before Him. That word, thou shalt have no other gods before me, or none other gods before me, means none within His sight or His presence, which means none at all. You have to serve God and God alone because He sees all. And if you bring one god into your life, if you have one god that you serve or worship, one thing that is an idol in your life, God sees it and it is before Him. It is in His presence. He beholds it. When He said, thou shalt not have no other gods before me, to stand before Him. Any that would be in your life or my life. God, you know, in India, they're quick to accept Jesus Christ as God, along with the other 3 billion gods that they accept. You see, the thing about getting somebody in India, I mean, that really believes the way they believe over there, getting them to Christ is to get them to turn to God from idols. That's what the Scripture said. You turn to God from idols. The Apostle Paul was speaking that to those early believers, how that they turned to God from idols. They had a lot of different gods. They had temples with different gods inside the temples, different statues, different monuments for different gods, different beliefs, and they paid tribute. Some people paid tribute to all of them. And they were so superstitious, they had a place to the unknown God, the one they didn't even know about. If He's a God we don't know about, well, let's have a place here for Him. Paul said, that's who I'm going to tell you about. The God you don't know. The one God you don't know. The God that all these other gods will not stand before Him. That you cannot have and have Him. Amen? Thou shalt have none other gods before me. When I thought about this being the beginning commandment and God saying, no other gods before me. To me, it being the beginning commandment and speaking of Him as God, supreme God, almighty God, one and only God, self-existing God, goes all the way back to creation. God the Creator. Are you listening? You can't have any other gods besides the God who is the Creator. He's the one who created it all. Created us. Made us in His own image. Now, when the Lord got done with, here in chapter 5, giving these commands, and there were 10 that was broken down, 10. The first one, thou shalt have none other gods before me. The second, thou shalt not make unto thee, you know, any graven image. He told them. Then he says in verse number 11, the third one, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. The fourth one, keep the Sabbath day to sanctify it, as the Lord God hath commanded thee. And the fifth one, honor thy father and thy mother, as the Lord hath commanded thee. The sixth, thou shalt not kill. Look at how very blunt. The seventh, neither shalt thou commit adultery. The eighth, neither shalt thou steal. The ninth, neither shalt thou bear false witness against thy neighbor. The tenth, neither shalt thou desire thy neighbor's wife. Neither shalt thou covet thy neighbor's house. This is the one thou shalt not covet. So he gives them these 10 commandments. Now, in chapter 6, he says in verse 1, now these are the commandments, the statutes, and the judgments which the Lord your God commanded to teach you, that ye might do them in the land whither ye go to possess it. And that was important. You know why? Because the world always is a stress to change on the believer. They were going into a land of strange people that worship strange gods. God said, you serve me and you keep my commandments. And don't you have no other gods before me. Don't you take what you see in there and what they're doing and become a part of it. You see, if we become a part of the world, then what we are doing is we are setting other gods before our Lord, whether you realize it or not. You have adapted things and ideals into your life that are not the ideals and the commands of God. Are you listening to me? Now, here's what he said. Do you remember when Jesus was asked, what is the first great commandment? Well, the first one says, thou shalt have no other gods before me. But what did Jesus say? He said, the first great commandment is this, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. Now, whether you realize it or not, that is a notation in the language of thou shalt have no other gods before me. And I'll prove it, because in chapter number 6, he said in verse 4, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Now he had already said in verse 1, now the commandments and the statutes. Verse 2, that thou mightest fear the Lord thy God and keep all of his statutes and his commandments. Verse 3, hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with thee, and that ye may increase mightily. Verse 4, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. You see, when you say that you're not going to have any other gods before him, what you're saying is I'm going to love him with all my heart. And with all my mind, with all my might, with all my strength, with everything that's within me. If I love God that way, then I'm not going to have any other gods before him. I'm not going to walk into a land and take upon myself their ideals or make place for their ideals. Some of them still serve God, went to temple, but they also went to their high groves. Why? Because they didn't think it was so bad to marry a Canaanitess. She's pretty. He's handsome. I'll win him over to the Lord. I'll win her over to the Lord. God said, you're not supposed to mingle. You're not supposed to have any relation with them that way. Not to be unequally yoked together with the unbeliever. They were to marry in the people of Israel, among their families. Are you listening to me? Not close. Not close family. I'm talking the 12 families of Israel. They were to marry in that. They were the people of God. They were the chosen, elect, brought out of the land of Egypt. God had brought them out, delivered them, brought them through the Red Sea. Preserve them 40 years in the wilderness. He was going to do all of this for them. They would keep the Lord's commandment, love him with all their heart. Many of them, listen, you know, that journey lasted 40 years. It shouldn't have lasted 40 days. You know why they lasted 40 years? Because there was a generation that never got Egypt out of their heart. God brought them out of Egypt, but their heart was still back in Egypt. Oh, that we had some leeks and garlic back there. Some of that Egyptian food that's not on the Hebrew diet. Think about what he's saying. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. And do I love him? The Lord thy God? Is he my God? Is he my God? There's the first question. Is he my God? Is the true God my God? Do I have a relationship with the one true God? Listen, people, God is not just a thought of mine. Oh, I choose to believe that there's a God up there. He's real. He is real. He created all of this. In him, the Bible says, we live and move and have our being. He sent his son 2,000 years ago from heaven to be born of a virgin. Jesus born and lived in the land of Israel. A sinless life was given on the cross as the Lamb of God to take away the sins of the world, a sacrifice for all humanity. As by one man, that's Adam, death passed upon all men, so by one man shall all be saved through Christ, the God-man. He's real. Is the Lord God of heaven, is He my God? I mean, question yourself. If I have a true relationship with such a God, is my life, is this all there is to my life? Or is there more? Is there more to a relationship with God? Have you been changed? I'm talking God changing you, not you deciding to change. Has God changed you? A God that's big enough to open the Red Sea and let the children of Israel cross on dry ground. Do you not think that He can change your thought? Put His Word in your heart? For you to love Him like you love no one else? I think God wants us to love Him. I know that He does. God wants us to love Him like we love nobody else. God wants us to follow Him like we follow no one else. To honor Him, to honor His Word, to live by His Word. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. To have a relationship, is the Lord thy God? Is He my God? That I should love Him with all my heart, with all my soul, with all of my might. I'll have no other gods before Him. None. The great Creator. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. If you had any, you repent of them and turn from them. And see, when we as Gentiles sometimes, especially in this generation, when we hear of gods, we think of, you know, like little idols, statues, or, you know, things like that. And you may say, I don't have none of that. Well, it don't necessarily have to be that. It can be any one thing that means more to you than God or His Word means to you. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. The first great commandment, to love God, to love the Lord thy God. That relationship is so important. To love Him with all thine heart. Every part of this is vital. If we did this one thing, everything else would be easy. I truly loved Him with all my heart. Everything else about the Christian life would be a breeze. I would not doubt Him. I would not doubt Him. I would obey Him. His words, the Bible said, are not grievous. They're not grievous. You find rest when you love Him that way. Amen. God wants us to do this, that His Word will teach us and teach us to do them. We're living in a body that doesn't want to do, but especially in a generation that just does not want to do the things that God asks. God said, you've got to do them. You've got to fear the Lord. You've got to fear thy God. Keep His statutes and commandments, which I command thee. Listen, you've got to remember who's given the command. It ain't the preacher. God's the one giving the command. I just read the mail. That's all I do. I read the message. It's His command. His command. I'm not asking you to love God with all your heart. God is saying to love Him with all your heart. That thou mightest fear the Lord thy God. In chapter 6, verse 2, look at what he said. That thou mightest fear the Lord thy God, to keep all His statutes and His commandments, which I command thee, thou and thy son and thy son's son, all the days of thy life, that thy days may be prolonged. You want to have long days? Love God with all your heart. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long. There's another one. That long days. But God says, if you love me with all your heart, then and your son will, and your son's son will. It's evident. When you love God that much, listen, it's going to pass down from one generation to the next. I'm about done. Thank you for listening this evening. Thou shalt not make thee any graven image. Thou shalt not make thee any graven image. Or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the waters beneath the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself unto them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me. God's saying, them that hate me. Who is them that hate him? Them that don't love him. You see, in the mind of God, you're either with me or against me, he says. You either love me or you hate me. You're either eating at my table or you're eating at the devil's table. People today, they want to say, well, you know, I don't love God, but you know, no, I don't hate him. If you don't love him, you do. How could a person not love God? How could a person not love the God that gives us existence, gives us the very breath we eat, the blessings that we experience God grants them to us. God is good to us in a world that's bad to us. See, people want to blame all the bad on God. That's sin that's done that. And Satan. That began in the garden. Adam, Eve, and the serpent. And God is the remedy to it. Amen. Think about who He is and what He has done. I mean, the Israelites, I don't know why that it was a hard head scratcher for them. I mean, just to not look back and say, we were suffering in Egypt. We were crying out every day, God to help us. The heat of the Egyptian sun, taskmasters whipping us, beating us into submission, working us out of breath, out of strength, dying of thirst, starving. And God sent a deliverer and got us out of there. Who wouldn't want to serve that God? Who wouldn't want to? I mean, He's the one that came to the rescue. Amen. It wasn't the gods of Egypt that helped them. They couldn't. Not one of them could help them. It was the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. When Moses came down from the mountain back into Egypt until he said, I am sent me. I am the self-existing Jehovah. Amen. Love Him. I want you to stand this evening.